A long time ago, in the days of Samuel and Eli's sons, God wanted the people's attention. And he tried to talk to them. And Eli was faithful to God, but his sons weren't. And so God told Eli that his sons would not take the next step and replace him. That the word of the Lord would be spoken to someone other than his sons. Because the sons did not want to listen to God. The sons did not want to obey God. The sons wanted to do what they wanted to do. Does that sound like anybody you know? And so Samuel was to be the next. And Samuel didn't know yet the voice of the Lord. It was all new to him. How God revealed himself in the Old Testament through visions and dreams and appearances of angels and the like. This was new to Samuel. And so God called out. Did you notice he called him by name? Do you think that's important? Do you like it when someone wants your attention and goes, "Hey, you"? Not really. The first thing we learn from the Old Testament is that God knows whom he wants. In the New Testament, there's that verse that God desires all to be saved, that no one should perish. But in the Old Testament, even so, that was true. That just didn't happen in the New Testament like God changed his mind. But we learn that God calls us by name. In the Old Testament, we have, you know, the verses, and next Sunday is Life Sunday, and you have, you know, "I knew you before you were born, and I formed you in the innermost dark parts," that is, in the womb of the mother, and "I have plans for you." God knows us by name and by design. And Samuel is an example of that. Samuel helps us model what we're supposed to do when God speaks to us in his word, when God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in our heart. We answer, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant hears." But do we really do that? Growing up, I remember that when mom wanted you, if you heard your first name, unfortunately, my bad behavior was I would ignore it. If you heard your first and middle name, my bad behavior was I would still ignore it. But if you heard your full name, loudly and clearly, you better get up. Was it like that for you? What does it take for someone who loves you to get your attention? Because that's the same issue with God. God loves us. And what does it take for him to get our attention? We learn that we have to recognize that there is no other love like his. In the second reading for this morning, you hear about the kinds of loves that we prefer, and it identifies one. It's called sexual immorality. We have all kinds of passions. It may be a sport, it may be food, it may be, you know, all kinds of things. And we crave those. And when we desire that, we don't listen. I know on Sunday morning that during the sermon, if you're thinking about lunch, you're not going to hear a thing I say. If you're thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon or where what you're going to go, and maybe it's special, maybe it's just something you get to do often, but you still like it, and you like it more than being here, you're not going to listen. Is that true? Yeah? You have to pay attention to nod your head. Is that true? Think about it. It tells us. But then it tells us why it can be different. In the second reading, we find out that the Holy Spirit has an indwelling in us, that God has given us His Spirit, that we're a temple of the Lord. This just isn't, and uses, just any old body. God has declared it special and set it apart for His purpose, and He's made His Spirit known. And so it reminds us to listen to the Lord. In the gospel reading, you have the calling of the disciples to follow Jesus. And you have Philip, and you have Andrew, and then there's Nathanael. And Nathanael hears from, you know, Philip that, hey, we found, you know, the one Moses and the prophets were talking about. And he gives them a little more detail. He says, you know, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael asked the question, can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, if you read commentaries, there's all kinds of ideas as to why Nathanael would say that. It's a hypothesis of many, but I have to tell you, I really don't know the answer. There's no Bible verse that definitively tells you this is why Nathanael said that. I can tell you what I think about it. If you don't consider something credible, do you listen? Right? If you don't consider a person important, do you listen? It's really interesting how in parenting, when you talk to your kids, you can tell your kids some truth, right? I don't mean some truth, some lie, but you can tell them a truth, all right? And the kids look at you like, are you of this earth? You know, where'd you get that notion? And then someone else can tell them the same truth, maybe even pretty close in the same words. And the kid goes, wow. You know, I've never heard that before. It has been a long time this way. But when we have considered Jesus less significant than the voices of our heart and our brain, when we consider Jesus less significant than our friendships and relationships, when we consider Jesus less significant than our own passions and desires and our own intelligence, then we will act just like Nathanael, and we say, can anything good come out of the Scriptures? Can anything good come from God? Because from my point of view, and then fill in the blank. And there are people that believe if you're a Christian, all you have is rules and laws. Don't do this, don't do that. And then the have-tos. You have to do this, you have to do that. And that's their perception. And so the question is, can anything good come out of a Christian congregation? Can anything good come out of another Christian? Can anything good come out of the Bible? Can anything good come from Jesus Christ? And when Jesus tells Nathanael, I saw you when you were under the fig tree, all of a sudden something new happened for Nathanael. He realized that just doesn't happen. that the Lord Jesus Christ knew him without having been there physically, visibly, to behold him, to witness it. The Lord saw that. That is some power. And Nathanael recognized the only one that has that power is God. And then Jesus says, you will see, it's on your bulletin in the gospel, right at the end. Jesus answered, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. Notice the word things is plural. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What did Nathanael see that was plural? Other than hearing Jesus saw him, what's the context that Nathanael had more than just Jesus saying, I saw you? And it's the change in the men that followed Jesus. Nathanael knew that Philip was following Jesus. That's a change. Nathanael, whatever else was witnessed to him, it was more than one thing. God has more than one thing to tell you. And Jesus even highlights that there's a greater thing, and that is you see heaven open. Now, when do we today see heaven open to us? In our baptism. In the water and the word, you're given new life. You're united with Jesus in his death, but significantly in his resurrection. You have new life in Christ, and heaven is no longer closed to you. In the Lord's Supper, your sins are forgiven. What keeps you out of heaven? Unbelief, right? Unrepentance, you know, which is an expression of unbelief. Think about it. In the Lord's Supper, your sins are forgiven. Your faith is strengthened. Heaven is again revealed to you, that there is nothing, nothing that separates you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. To be in the scriptures is to behold God, his hand, his actions, his truth. The scriptures was never meant to be interpreted by mankind as boring or old or archaic or out of date or disconnected. For on the cross of Calvary, Christ died for all. That's everyone in this room plus, right? And when he rose from that tomb, he rose for us all so that you and I would have life. There's a connection there. And when he teaches us his truth, it's so that our life is strengthened and renewed by that truth, so we don't constantly, consistently, and forever live with guilt and shame and toxic thinking and heavy hearts and hopelessness and everything else that comes with it. He has given us an eternal hope. Not a hope as in, I wish we have steak tonight. You know, and you don't know what was placed out of the freezer into the fridge to thaw. But an eternal hope in that this is most certainly true. This is God's truth. This is God's promise. And so you have right here, it's God is nudging us by the work of the Spirit and his word. He nudges us to get our attention. He nudges us to bring us back into a relationship with him. He nudges us so that we would serve him in this new relationship, that we would live for him. He gives us more than we give him. He gives you eternal life. you give some acts of mercy. He gives you forgiveness of sins. You give him service, maybe in the church. Maybe you do something here. Maybe you do something for your family or the neighborhood. He gives us so much more. And so we're encouraged to listen to the Lord our God. We're encouraged to turn to the scriptures, not because you have to, but because being alive in Christ, you get to. And you're encouraged to recognize the voices of our passion and our body and the desires of our flesh that take us away from the voice of God and identify them for what they are. And the way you know more about that is the Word tells you. The Word tells you what kind of thoughts are evil. The Word tells you what are you holding on to your heart, in your heart, that's wrong. The Word tells you. And then the Word tells you what God fills your heart with. In the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He has filled your heart. Listen to him. Tonight, pray. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. Amen.